All right, so this is true. The matter is, this is a series. I mean, this is a learning that I've done on my own, that I do on my own, and that I wanted to share for a long while now. I'm just going to put the screen on some svarim that I brought over here. These are some of the svarim that we'll learn from. Now it's not so scary because we're really just going to be learning Divrei Torah. But specifically, Divrei Torah from the Gedolim from America, mainly from the second half of the 20th century. You saw the names, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shimon Schwab, who was the leader of the Breuer's community, the German Yeki community, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, very, very famous, well-known, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Gedalia Shor. Those would be the main ones whose farm I personally have loved and grown from very much in recent years. And very, very creative Divrei Torah. And we'll primarily just be learning their Divrei Torah, their comments in the Parsha. But also, I want to also use the Limud as an opportunity for getting some perspectives of how these Gedolim, how they learned timely lessons from the Parsha. And if we learn these Divrei Torah, the truth of the matter is really one could learn all of Torah from all of the generations with this perspective. Not only, you know, the Torah in essence that's being said, but also the commentaries and the messages that the Gedolim, that the Tzaddikim, that the great Rebbeim, the great Torah leaders were saying to their times, to the people, to their followers, their communities, and beyond. And I think Dafka, since we are so intimately connected with America in the 20th and 21st century, I think learning the Divrei Torah of these great Rabbanim speaks to us in a very, very penetrating way. Not to say more than other generations, not to say more than, you know, the Amoraim and the Rishonim and the Tanaim and the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon, etc., from all the generations. But these were the leaders and the builders of the Torah world that many of us come from, and therefore their messages perhaps resonate even a little bit more, a little bit stronger with us. So with that introduction, and happens to be the Divrei Torah that we'll learn tonight, I think are very, very strong, present some strong messages, dafka, for their time, for our time, as we will see. So tonight we're going to learn primarily, Shalom Aleichem Kip. Thanks so much for joining. So tonight we're going to learn primarily from Rav Moshe Feinstein and his beautiful Sefer Drash Moshe, really one of the most gorgeous, pretty contemporary svarim on Chumash. Rav Moshe was, this is not going to be a biographical shir in any stretch, but Rav Moshe was an unbelievable tzaddik, the Gadol Hador by all accounts, really for the second half of the 20th century. I believe came from Russia to America, I believe in 1939, I think I heard, if I'm not mistaken, around then, became the Posek Hador pretty quickly. People would send them answers, compiling his famous work, Igros Moshe, which has all of his tshuvos. He dealt with the most important questions of the times, questions in science, technology, medicine, contemporary issues, politics, sociological issues in halacha, and his mastery of Torah was second to none for around 50 years, literally, in the world. An incredible gadol. Actually, I recently listened to a series of shiurim from Rav Aryeh Leibowitz Shlita, one of the up-and-coming great rabbis in America. He gave a series of shiurim on his... He actually just recently started up again. Very, very worthwhile. About the Rav Moshe and his halachic adversaries, different gedolim that they debated topics in halacha on. Anyway, but let's learn Rav Moshe from the Sefer Drash Moshe and this week's Parsha Chayisara. And we'll learn here. I have the screen shared. If you want to follow along, if you can see, we'll learn from this Torah. This Torah, I think, is a great way to jump into a beautiful comment on the parsha, and also an idea that's very, very appropriate to to the times, his times and our times. So the Torah records, Vatama Sarah Bekiryas Arba, he Chevron Beretz Kanan, right? That's the beginning of the Parsha, the death of Sarah Imenu, and Avram going to bury her and finding the burial cave, and Chevron Marasach Pela, etc. So Rav Moshe asks a great pshat question. He asks, Tamua, Lama Pradze, V'chilo Yadanu Shayu Beretz Kanan? We know where they were, right? It's been like the center of their story, that they're in the land of Israel, they're in the land of Canaan, Lech Lecha, they went down to Mitzrayim, and they came back, and all the whole story is centered around the fact that they're in Eretz Canaan. Why does the Torah need to say that the location of her death was in Eretz Canaan? V'gam, lama nakat kan shem kiryas arba, shalohuzkar b'shar makomos. And he asks, why does the Torah call Chevron Kiryat Arba, right? The Torah says that Kiryat Arba is Chevron. In modern times, right, we have the modern city of Kiryat Arba and the more ancient biblical city of Chevron. Manny, have you ever been to Chevron before? We didn't get to go yet this year, but... Alright, hopefully you'll be able to go this year, if not in the future. But it's very, very special to visit Maaseh HaPeilah, the cave of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Really, the first Jewish city, the city of Chevron, the city of Avram Avinu, and it has two names. It has the name of Kiryat Arba, he Chevron. It's also Chevron. So Rashi, so Rav Moshe wonders why does the Torah need to tell us that she died in Canaan? B, why does it need to tell us that the name of the city is Kiryat Arba? And Rav Moshe says, the Nira Debal Hagid Shivcha Shehi Sara Sha'amar Lamala Below Chait. Right? Rav Moshe goes back to the first Rashi in the Parsha, who says that when Sarah died, she died totally clean of sin. Hayaze Gam Kol Yameh Ad Shemeta. And this was so all the days of her life until she passed. Afsha Hayu Harbe Shanim Bekiryat Arba. Even though, and this is a critical point, even though she lived many years of her life in Kiryat Arba, in this city of Kiryat Arba. Why is that significant? Because, why is Kiryat Arba called Kiryat Arba? And here he quotes Chazal, that Rashi brings down, that it's the city of the four. Rashi brings down two pshatim, why it's called the city of the four. The second pshat that Rashi brings down is that's the city of the four based on something that's going to be in the future. Namely, that it's going to be the burial spot of the four couples, the four great pillars of Jewish history, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. Obviously, Rachel is not buried there, and the fourth is Adam and Chava, who are buried there beforehand. That's the second pshat that Rashi brings. But the first pshat that Rashi brings is the city of the four giants. And the four giants are actually named explicitly when Chevron appears later in Chumash. Anybody know when Chevron appears later in Chumash? For the sake of time, we'll list a little less interaction. But later on in Parshas Shlach, when Moshe sends the spies go to the city of Chevron. And there also it's mentioned Kiryat Arba, Rashi says. And it says specifically that it was who was there? The Anak, the giant, and his three sons, Sheshai, Talmai, and Einar. Einar, Sheshai, and Talmai, I believe it was the names. And those are the four giants. Says Rav Moshe, what's significant? Shehen ha'anakim she'al yidei gvurasan kafru b'Hashem Yisbarach. I'm not sure if this is based on Chazal. I didn't have time to look it up. But Rav Moshe says that these four giants, who the city of Kiryat Arba is named after, the city of the four is the four giants, and their being giants, full of power and strength and might, gave them the ability and gave them the wherewithal and gave them the drive to be kofar and Hashem. V'chein haisa ashpasam akol ha'makom shegvurasam gdola ve'ein srichim la'Hashem mizbarach. These giants who were so powerful and so mighty were so self-sufficient and didn't need God. And not only did they personally not need God, but it caused them to develop, or this was really the motif and the culture of the times, but nobody needed God. And these people especially were like leaders of this culture of, we can do it all on our own. Kochi va'otzem yadi, Asali Yisrael says, all with my strength, with the power of my hand, I can do it. And they went ahead and they spread that message of the might of man, the greatness of man, the independence of man, the uniqueness of man, the power of man. And when man is so focused on his own individuality and his own power, so what does he end up going? What does he end up doing potentially? He ends up going against God. He ends up developing a lifestyle where he doesn't need God. And that was the trend of Kiryat Arba, the land of these four giants. And says Rav Moshe, Umikol Makom, Haisa B'tzidkasa Kol HaYamim Kibash Shiva, that Sarah maintained her piety all of the days of her life, just like a seven-year-old. The purity, the cleanliness, the simplicity, the dedication to God. And Rav Moshe says that we see this later in the parsha as well. Rivka, Sarah's daughter-in-law, they never met, but the one who continued the legacy of our great foremothers, our great imahos, Rivka, also we see the same thing by her, that she grew up in the house of Besuel with a brother Lavan, with so much negativity and bad values and culture and traits, etc. But she managed, really incredibly powerful, she didn't have an Avram Avinu, she didn't have a Yitzhak Avinu at that time, but she managed to develop with such wholesomeness and beautiful midos and sterling character and tzidkus and righteousness and piety, etc., even though she was living in such a place, which maybe we'll talk about in a few minutes. And that's the greatness. That's why the Torah says that Sarah died dafka in Kiryat Arba and Eretz Canaan. Because you might think that a person would live in such a place, of course it's going to affect them. Of course the society is going to rub off. Of course the culture is going to rub off. Of course, the ways of life and the, you know, the independence and the opportunities and the self-centeredness will rub off. But Sarah Imenu, the great tzaddikess, she was able to maintain her identity in the midst of such a reality. And that's why the Torah points us out, says Rav Moshe. And obviously, I think this is a fantastic way to begin our learning, especially with this eye. Rav Moshe Feinstein is talking to American Jewry in the second half of the 20th century. Perhaps there's no bigger challenge than this. Living in the land of opportunity, the land where the streets are paved with gold, the land of independence and democracy and freedom of speech and unbelievable prosperity and freedoms and it's a real thing, the greatness of man. But the greatness of man can be incredibly intoxicating and can lead one away from God, chas v'shalom, could lead one to rebel against God, chas v'shalom. And Rav Moshe says, look at Sarah Imenu. Look how she maintained her identity. Look how she maintained her piety in the face of what was going on around her. And what an important message, for Sarah, for us, for the Jews of the Western world, the Jews of America, that Rav Moshe Feinstein is teaching us from Sarah Imenu. So that'll be our first Dvar Torah, our first Vort for the night. Now let's go on a little bit more. Later on, after the we skipped the first one, we're going to go to the third one. This is, by the way, in the Sefer Drash Moshe, there's two Chalakim. So we're in the first Chalak of the Drash Moshe. Tonight, that's where we're learning from. So we learn the second Torah. Now we're going to skip to the third Torah, where he says like this: Vashem berachas Avram bakol. Rashi, that's the beginning of the story of the main story of Parshas Chayisara, where Avram Avinu is sending away Eliezer to go bring back a wife for Yitzchak Avinu, and the Torah begins that God had blessed Avram bakol, and Rashi. Now, by the way, it's not in every version of Rashi, but Rashi brings down that Bakol is a gematria ben, right? Bakol, 2 and 20 and 30, that's 52. And ben is also 52. So Rashi says that Hashem blessed Avram with a ben, with a son, because that's the same gematria as Bakol. And then Rashi continues, Me'achar Shayelo Ben, since he has a son, that's the continuation of the story. He has to go, Lasio Isha, he has to find him a wife.
Rav Moshe Feinstein asked the obvious question. V'tamua, l'chora, ha'mefurash zeshayil ben. We need a gematria to know that Avraham had a son? It's been like, we said Israel was the center place of Avraham's life. Avraham having children is like the center focus of Avraham's life, right? His first bracha that God gave him was going to be a great nation. He's going to have children. And Avraham davened, and the angels came to give him to tell him that he's going to have a son. And he did it when Yishmael and v'chule. And Asher Moshe, we need a gematria to teach that Avraham had a son and he needs to get married. Do we not know that Avraham doesn't have a son? Does Avraham not know that he doesn't have a son? What is this? What's the significance of Rashi bringing this gematria, of Avraham bringing this gematria, that he had a son, needs to get him married off? A very, very strong question on Rashi. Says Rav Moshe something so beautiful. Vinira. The Hakavan, and this is also a beautiful understanding of how to learn gematria, what gematria means, and the significance of gematria, and again, it will also relate to the times as well. Says Rav Moshe, Vinira, the kavana, the af. You see where I am over here. The af man, are you able to see the text?
Yeah,
great. Vinira, the af, Vinira, the kavana, the af shebarchu bakol shu bakol davar tov shayach leos kedita b'sof hashutvin. The simple meaning, right? So first of all, says Rav Moshe, the simple meaning of Bakol, that God blessed Avram with everything, it's referring to financial prosperity, wealth, right? He blessed him with everything, right? And it's referring that he had everything. He had wealth. He had an incredible estate, right? We know from the previous story, he had enough money to buy the Maris Machpelah, and God had blessed him with immense amount of wealth. So that's a simple meaning. However, Avram, and this is such a beautiful pshat. Says Rav Moshe, "Mikol makom yada Avram shebelo sheyu doros lishmor derech Hashem ein ze inyan gadol kol masa v'tzidkosa v'chol hanos einam klum." Avram had tons of money, but a person who understands the purpose of life, tons of money is not going to be the be-all and end-all. Financial stability and great wealth and prosperity is all a means to an end. It's not the end goal. God doesn't give one wealth in order for them to just celebrate their wealth. There must be a purpose for it. There must be a reason for it. There must be something that he's meant to do with his wealth. And when Avram realized that he had this coal, this great, tremendous wealth, it must be that there's a purpose for it. So Avram looked at his wealth and said, if I don't have generations, if I don't have a future, if I don't have children, if I don't have offsprings and progeny to pass it on to build, to continue my legacy, then my wealth is useless, is purposeless, has no meaning. Einam klum. Vilachain, looking so beautiful. Vilachain histakel kasher beircho bakol shugam haben. Avram looked at his bakol, which is on the surface, it's the prosperity. But he looked deep within it and he saw, this is for my son. And that's the meaning of a gematria. This is a very deep teaching that Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying right now. A gematria is not a fancy interpretation or fancy wordplay. A gematria, Rav Moshe is saying, is that it's a deeper dimension of that thing. That you can look at the bakol, that which represents the financial wealth, the prosperity, and you can look deep into it and reveal that its purpose is a ben, is my son, is my child, is the future, my offspring, future generations. And Avram saw into his wealth that the purpose of it is that deeper meaning represented by the gematria ben. In Yirasheyu Doros miYitzchak, and therefore if there would be a future and future generations, that Yitzchak would have children, Yiskayim al yidei beno shu begematria bekol, kol habrachos shebe bekol la'olam. That the real purpose of Avram's blessings, of his wealth, would only be fulfilled when Yitzchak would take it and carry the legacy, carry on the tradition. Vim chas v'shalom lo yekiyum haTorah l'olam v'yufsak habakol shu haben elis chashiv kol masav le'davar gadol. But if there's no future, if he doesn't pass on his legacy, if he doesn't pass on the tradition, then the bakol is meaningless, it's purposeless. So Avram saw, look at all that I have. What am I meant to do with it? What's its purpose? Ah, I'm meant to pass it to children. I'm meant to pass it on to my children. I'm meant to give it to the future generations. I'm meant to build. I'm meant to think about the future. And that's why Avram realized that with his wealth, he's going to go ahead and start the story of finding a wife for his son Yitzchak and continuing the legacy. And again, a very, very, very apropos teaching to the generation and to the time of Rav Moshe Feinstein and 20th century America. The land of prosperity, the land where people, where the Jewish people, you know, began to come out of Eastern Europe and come into the land of opportunity, and then when the world of the Lower East Side and poverty began to subside, and the Jewish people started to experience great success and great wealth and prosperity, etc. Rav Moshe is saying, now you have to ask yourself a question: what's the purpose of it, right? And the Jews started to move into the suburbs, into Long Island, and build Torah communities, and build infrastructure, and schools, and shuls, and restaurants, and the world of the Jewish world that we know of nowadays. You know, Borough Park and Muncie and huge homes and huge buildings and unbelievable. But what's the purpose of it all? Is it an end of itself, or is the brachas of prosperity that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and specifically the Jewish people in America, is the purpose to then go and pass it on, to use it as a means to continue the Jewish people, to use it as a means of having a stable Jewish community and education and spreading Torah and sharing Torah and having the comfort and security of the Torah world. And Rav Moshe is saying, if you don't have that perspective, then all of the wealth and all the prosperity, what's it worth? What's it good for? If you're not going to pass it on to future generations, if you're not going to use it as a means of building Torah and building Klal Yisrael. And what a beautiful interpretation that Rav Moshe is saying of why Rashi had to teach us that the gematria of Bakol is a ben. Because Avram saw that the purpose of his wealth is really for the sake of passing it on to the future Doros. Beautiful pshat from Rav Moshe. Okay, I want to well one last idea tonight, and I think very very apropos to the ideas that we said will be from Rav Soloveitchik. Back to that story of Avram. This is a very very famous thought from Rav Soloveitchik. We'll just read it quickly. When Avram is in the beginning of the parsha, Avram is negotiating with the Bnei Chet and to buy the burial plot for Sarah in Kiryat Arba and Hebron, and he says this famous line. There's a lot of depth that one can learn from this dialogue, this back and forth, this financial bargain that's going on between Avram and the Bnei Chet, one line that's there is when Avram says to them, "Ger v'toshav anochi imachem tenuli achuzas kever ve'akbura meisi milfanai." Right? And Avram Avinu pays out the money. They say, "Don't pay." He says, "I want to pay." They say, "Don't pay." Fine, pay this much. And Avram says, "Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I'm a stranger and inhabitant with you, and let me buy a burial plot for Sarah, my wife." And Rav Soloveitchik, poetically and beautifully, and again, very very apropos to the times that he lived in as well, the second half of the 20th century, and the world of Orthodoxy, Rav Soloveitchik utilized this phrase, and I heard this tens and tens of times from my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Rakevich Shlita, who was a very, very close Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, say this as one of Rav Soloveitchik's main Torahs, and with this we'll finish for tonight. Rav Soloveitchik commented
This is from the Rav Soloveitchik Chumash, which is a compilation, by the way, of Divrei Torah from all the different writings of Rav Soloveitchik. And this is from the Rav Speaks, as you can see in the bottom, which is basically a very famous book called the Thinif Drushes, the five speeches that the Rav gave, the five drushes that the Rav gave, put into a. That's a very, very special volume in and of itself about the Jewish world, about modernity, about a little bit about Israel. Very, very important work of Rav Soloveitchik's thought. So this is quoted from there, and he says the following: "I'm a ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I am a stranger and an inhabitant with you." And the Rav took this phrase that Avraham Avinu said and said the following: "What is our position vis-a-vis modern civilization? With respect to science, to Western culture, to the countries in which we live, the answer is enshrined in these words. Certainly I am a resident. I am one of you. I engage in business as you do. I speak your language. I take full part in your social economic institutions. But at the same time, I am a stranger, and in some aspects, a foreigner. I belong to a particular world, one that is completely foreign to you. It is a world in which I am at one with the Creator. It is a world populated by characters unknown to you, with a tradition that you do not understand, with spiritual values that seem impractical in your eyes, pragmatic children of chet. It is a world full of altars and sacrifices, a world of Torah, of loving kindness, of sanctity and purity. You live differently, pray differently. Your conception of charity is different from ours. Your days of rest are different from ours, and so on. In these matters, I am a stranger in your world, and you are strangers in mine. Jewish burial is one of the elements with respect to which we are strangers and foreigners to one another. A Jew dies and is buried differently. A Jew requires a cemetery of his own, a Jewish grave." So the Rav saw in these worlds this dichotomy, this dual reality that a Jew in the modern world and Western culture has to live. Ger v'toshav, on the one hand we're a stranger, and on the other hand we're an inhabitant. We live there. We have their modern education and business, and we take full advantage of, you know, all of our democratic rights and all of our opportunities and all of our, you know, and all of the great blessings that the Western world and America specifically gives to us, and the prosperity and the business opportunities and travel and education and wisdom and science and medicine and technology and engineering and on and on and on and on. And we're an inhabitant. We're part of the culture. We're part of the society. But also, as children of Avraham Avinu, we also remember that we're gerim. We're always outsiders. We're foreigners. We don't belong here. We're not. We have our own set of values. We answer to a higher authority. We are the Am Hashem. We're the Am HaNivchar. We're Hashem's chosen, beloved people, and we have to live to a certain extent this dual life. So long as we're on foreign soil, and that's what Avraham Avinu was saying when he was in Chevron, that he's a ger v'toshav anochi imachem, and that's what we also need to remember. And therefore, that gives us the opportunity, that gives us the openness, that gives us the perspective to live in different dimensions. But we also need to ask ourselves, what am I willing to do as a ger, and what am I willing to do as a toshav? In which ways am I comfortable being an inhabitant, being a participant in the society? And in which ways do I need to make sure that I maintain my strangeness, my foreignerness, that I'm a Jew, that I come from the land of Israel, that I come from Jewish history and Jewish tradition, that don't allow me to take part in certain dimensions of society, that demand of me to live a higher calling, that demand of me to keep my tradition and to pass it on to my children, etc., etc. And the Rav said a person has to be very, very conscientious of these two dimensions of life, living in Western culture in America. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. That's a very, very famous idea from the Rav, and with that we'll conclude for tonight. Three Divrei Torah from Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik on Parshas Chayisara, and Amir Hashem will continue tomorrow night with a little bit more.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, any comments, any feedback?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so interesting when Chuck Daltrey ever says his mom is living with the Parsha, that I just saw that this, I mean, I've heard the Ger v'toshav Torah from Rav Soloveitchik, in the YU world, probably a million times, but it's so interesting because I just heard I think it was Rabbi Rafi Peretz just quoted this, because the IDF just decided that Arab soldiers that die in battle can be buried next to, even close, it used to be they were in different cemeteries.
Uh-huh.
And now they announced that they'll be buried next to each other. What does that mean? With like 6 inches or 6 tefachim or whatever.
Wow.
And Rav Peretz said that, he quoted this Torah, that's Dafka talking about cemeteries and why we can be Gerim and Toshav, and can be with us in the army, but
wow,
we have to be separate in our cemeteries.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I read it like this morning.
Wow. Heavy. Shkoyach, thank you for sharing. How are you doing?